While Wall Street looked at Brexit and went, meh. It's the Business News Hour for Tuesday, the 15th of January. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Well, don't look now, but the economic toll exacted by the shutdown just got worse. Well, that didn't last long. We're talking about the deal between CVS and Walmart. The Papa John's board can't keep records away from its ousted founder. And because you love it so, we've got more pizza news for you. Iowa's Governor Kim Reynolds gave the condition of the state address today to the state's lawmakers. We'll share the eight items she highlighted. And because we're based in Iowa, what does the Greater Des Moines Partnership have on its wish list for the Iowa legislature? Some of the things may surprise you. Joe Murphy, VP of Government Relations, is in for the interview. Hang on, the business news is next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AUREON.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. Remax Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the Greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Tero International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit Tero.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Tero team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources and more for businesses and nonprofits. AUREON.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? Yeah, you can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, not long before the U.S. markets closed, the Parliament in Great Britain said no to Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal by a wide margin. In fact, we had to look back into the 1920s to find such another lopsided vote. 423 members of Parliament voted no on the deal, while 202 voted yes. And there's a planned no-confidence vote headed to Theresa May tomorrow. So how did the markets react to such a historical issue? Yeah, the markets sort of said, meh. And while Wall Street did pare its earlier gains, the bottom did not fall out. In fact, the Dow closed up 155 points, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ gained a whopping 117 points. So it wasn't Great Britain in the minds of investors today, but China. We'll have more about that in the details later in the newscast. Well, while Great Britain is struggling with its domestic agenda, the United States is having issues of their own. The Trump administration now estimates that the cost of the government shutdown will be twice as steep as originally forecast. The original estimate that the partial shutdown would subtract about 1/10 of a percentage point from growth every 2 weeks has now been doubled to 1/10 of a percentage point every week. That according to an official who asked not to be named. The administration had initially counted just the impact from the 800,000 federal workers not receiving their paychecks, but they now believe the impact doubles due to greater losses from private contractors also out of work and other government spending and functions that will not occur. We now believe that if the shutdown lasts the rest of this month, it could subtract a sizable half a percentage point from the gross domestic product. The subtraction from growth would add to the troubles of an economy already thought to be slowing down from waning effects of stack stimulus, trade tensions, and gathering global weaknesses. Just in case you've run out of things to worry about, let us put that on your plate. Walmart Drugs and CVS are back in the news. Walmart pharmacies will no longer be part of the networks where most consumers with CVS drug plans can pick up their prescriptions. That after a dispute between the two giant companies over pricing. CVS is one of the largest administrators of prescription drug plans in the United States, covering more than 93 million people. While known mostly for its drugstores, CVS's pharmacy benefits management division, that's called CVS Caremark, has come to account for most of its revenue. It administers drug coverage for many large employers, as well as numerous Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries. Walmart, the world's largest retailer, is also one of the largest pharmacy operators in the United States. The company was demanding higher reimbursements from CVS for its pharmacies. CVS said in a statement announcing the split, "That's a no-go." Amid a larger debate in the United States over drug prices, pharmacy benefit managers like CVS have come in for criticism from consumers, lawmakers, and regulators for a lack of transparency about prices and rebates that they negotiate with drug makers. CVS said the rates Walmart was seeking would have led to patients paying more for their medicines. Who are you going to believe? Well, a Delaware judge said today that Papa John's International must turn over internal documents to the company's founder, who's been seeking to reassert control over the pizza delivery chain after he resigned as chairman back in July. John Schnatter, who owns about 30% of the company, has been seeking the documents to try to show the company was mismanaged and determine if he was improperly pushed out. The founder of the third largest pizza delivery chain resigned in July following a Forbes story that he had used a racial slur on a media training conference call. Schnatter said the comment was mischaracterized and since then has battled the company in court. And because you love it so much, we've got more pizza news for you. It doesn't look like Domino's will be switching to a third-party delivery service like Uber Eats or Grubhub anytime soon. Today, during an airing of CNBC's Power Lunch, Domino's CEO Richard Allison said the company believes that hiring its own delivery drivers gives the pizza chain advantages in both service and cost. Allison went on to say, quote, "When a customer orders from Domino's, I want a Domino's uniform driver to show up and deliver that pizza. It helps us to control customer experience and also the quality of our product," end quote. Domino's was the first pizza chain to invest heavily in its digital platforms, giving it a leg up on the competition. The growing use of e-commerce delivery services has increased its competition, but Allison is still confident that the company can deliver its pies effectively, as it's been doing for years. So what's next for Domino's? How about this one? More brick and mortar. To bolster its ability to deliver pizza, Domino's has, well, they're increasing the number of locations across the United States. Instead of the nearest location being 9 minutes away, Domino's is trying to shave that distance down to 4 or 5 minutes. Well, stocks ended higher today as Netflix led a rally in tech-related names after news that it would hike its monthly membership prices. The Dow rose 155 points as Microsoft and United Health outperformed. The S&P 500 gained 1% as the tech sector climbed 1.5%. The NASDAQ outperformed, rising 1.7%. Shares of Netflix jumped by 6.5% today after reports said the company would hike its prices of its monthly membership by 13 to 18%. This would be Netflix's biggest price hike since it launched its streaming service more than a decade ago. Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Alphabet all rose by more than 2 percentage points each. The major averages also got a boost as JPMorgan Chase rose by nearly 1%, erasing earlier losses. The stock initially fell after the banking giant reported lower-than-expected profit for the fourth quarter. The miss was JPMorgan's first in 15 quarters. Wells Fargo, meanwhile, posted earnings that topped expectations. Its sales, however, fell short of estimates. The bank also said it will operate under the Federal Reserve's growth cap for longer than expected. Other banks, including Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley, are scheduled to report quarterly earnings later this week. At the bell, the Dow closed at 24,065. The NASDAQ was up 117 points to close at 7023. And the S&P 500 gained 27 points, ending the day at 2610. Gold lost $1.90 to trade at $1,289.40 an ounce. Oil gained $1.48 to close at $51.99 a barrel. And the 10-year T-note rose a bit, paying 2.71%. Well, because the Business News Hour is based in Iowa, we've got to share with you what Governor Kim Reynolds' condition of the state was today. and the 8 points that she made, and frankly, some of them surprised us. Governor Reynolds proposed the idea of a constitutional amendment to restore voting rights for felons who complete their sentence. It would be a years-long process that critics contend could be handled with an executive order. Reynolds said she'll introduce a bill to create a children's mental health system that relies on recommendations from a board tasked with reviewing the issue. Reynolds included $3 million in her pitch to train teachers to better recognize early signs of mental illness. And she talked about prison labor, if you will. Governor Reynolds would like to see laws that protect employers from liability if they hire convicted felons, and said that prisoners should be building affordable houses. Reynolds asked for $20 million to launch the Future Ready Iowa Fund that seeks to train workers for jobs going wanting today. She's also seeking $20 million to extend broadband internet in rural Iowa. Reynolds says she's requesting $89.5 million in new money for the coming budget year toward K-12 education. That figure would be substantially more than the roughly $32 million that lawmakers approved last session. Hey, when we come back, we'll be joined by the Vice President of Legislative Affairs for the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Joe Murphy will discuss with us the five areas that business organization would like to see the 2019 legislature tackle in the months ahead. So do they match what the governor said? We'll find out. It's coming up next here on the Business News Hour.